How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And beginning on February 23rd, we will be here Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sports Byline USA, American Forces Network, the cable radio network, streaming live worldwide on the internet, everywhere that you can listen to this show. You will be able to hear us 6 days a week, starting on February 23rd. Until then, we're going to have somewhat of a limited schedule for the next week or so. I am here in Hawaii on my annual vacation, but we're still here doing shows. Mike Sempervivi is going to be here on the line in just a moment. We're going to talk all of the news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. There is plenty of it to talk about. The last time we did a show, we were talking about Anderson Silva and Nick Diaz and their fight at UFC 183. New information coming out of that one as both men failed drug tests. Nick Diaz, probably not surprisingly, failed a test for pot. It was his third test failure. And Anderson Silva failed for 2 different steroids. We're going to talk about that on the program today. All of the fallout from UFC as a result of this. Are there going to be changes? How is this going to affect UFC going forward? As well as Anderson Silva and Nick Diaz, the future of both of their MMA careers. We're going to talk about that on the show today. As well as all of the news in pro wrestling. We've got Raw coming up tomorrow. We've got the WWE Fast Lane pay-per-view. NXT special, which is coming up on Wednesday. NXT TakeOver Rival is coming up with Sami Zayn and the former Kevin Steen. Kevin Owens now in NXT. It's going to be a great show. It's literally, I would say, impossible for this not to be a great show. We're going to tell you how you can see it and so much more. Plus, any other news that's coming up. No phone calls today since we're not in the normal studio. But fear not, we have plenty to talk about here on the program today. So after the break, we'll come back and talk more pro wrestling and mixed martial arts here on Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. For the next 2 weeks, we are here Sundays at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, and beginning on February 23rd, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, streaming live worldwide on the internet, sportsbyline.com, wrestlingobserver.com, the most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world, now 6 days a week. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi talking all the news in wrestling and mixed martial arts. And Mike, how is life on the mainland?
No complaints whatsoever. I think I'd rather be in Hawaii right now, but actually, no, I wouldn't, because you still have to work while you're there. You don't get a chance to enjoy paradise the way that you want to, especially when all this news starts to break as soon as you leave.
Well, I am still enjoying paradise here, but I had not been gone one day when the news broke that Anderson Silva and Nick Diaz had both failed drug tests. I got a text from somebody, and at first I thought they were joking. And this text was actually the first I had heard from anybody about this story. It wasn't even online at this point. So I started texting people saying, is this really true? And sure enough, as it turns out, Nick Diaz at UFC 183 failed a drug test for marijuana. It is his third drug test failure for marijuana in probably the latest biggest fight of his entire career, which means he's going to be facing a hefty fine. And Anderson Silva failed for both androstenedione and drostanolone, 2 different steroids, for his comeback fight against Nick Diaz. And the interesting thing about those 2 failures, Anderson Silva, of course, is pleading innocence. I did not take any steroids, he said. And I guess arguing in his favor, if you wanted to, is the fact that androstenedione, for a while, for several years, was actually available over the counter. It was a pro-hormone that ended up being banned. But for a while, you could go to, like, GNC, and you could buy Superdrol, and it was a legal supplement. It no longer is. I don't know the legal status of it in Brazil. But I suppose if you really wanted to, you could plead innocence on that one. The problem is the draw standalone that he also failed for is an injectable steroid. It is not found in any supplements. Even if it were available in the supplement, you would not be able to get enough draw standalone to fail a drug test. So this one is going to be tough to argue out of, but apparently he's going to try.
Amazing the amount of wizardry and sorcery that takes place in these tests when it comes to MMA fighters. There's very few guys who will just stand up and say, hey, I took it. You know, Tim Sylvia did. You know, he basically said, well, look at me. I want it to look better. And, you know, he could have. And nobody really, you know, kind of faulted him for that. Dumb move. But, you know, he did look terrible. So I could see him wanting to look better. But when it comes to Anderson Silva, the other issue is that for standalone, two other guys in Black House were caught for that last July. Okay, there was that, and on top
Black House
of it,
for those of you that are new to this is the team that Anderson Silva trains out of. So he's now the third person on his own team to fail for this drug.
Yes, and the other issue is what those two drugs do. It's not like, you know, if he wanted to try to get out of it by saying I was taking something to strengthen my leg, even though it would have been a year after the fact or something like that, fine. But when the two drugs are basically to allow you to either keep muscle or build muscle, you know, while you're cutting weight, that doesn't look good at all either. And, I it's, again, like you said, one of them is injectable. And so to try to claim ignorance on this is very tough for me. You know, even if you don't ask your doctor the question of what you're putting in your, you know, what he's stabbing into you, you know, that's on you. That's your fault. And it's just, it's disappointing. It's not surprising because, you know, even though we lay out MMA fighters more than anybody else, because we hear about them, you know, the NFL's got issues. The NHL has issues. You know, nobody out there, I couldn't believe there's anyone out there that believes those other sports are clean or they catch everybody who's on different substances. We just hear about it in MMA more because we get to hear about them from the commissions. But with that said, it still is a black eye and a black eye in Anderson Silva because it's much like a lot of the baseball players who played. You know, once, you know, it doesn't matter how long you were taking it. Once you found out, you know, anybody found out that you were going to be caught with it, they kind of put an asterisk on you. And I can see people putting an asterisk on Anderson Silva. He still had to go out there and fight those fights. He still had to go out there and finish those victories and go on the streak that he went on. But there's still going to be people out there that will hold this against him and his title that many people have given him of the greatest MMA fighter of all time.
Well, the big issue to me is I have a pretty good eye for when people go out there and have new physiques, whether it's a much, much better physique or a much, much worse physique, especially when they're in their 30s. I mean, there's only so much of a physical transformation that you can make in your 30s unless, you know, you're 400 pounds and you manage to lose 200 pounds. But in terms of building muscle mass and that sort of thing, it's very, very difficult at that age, particularly with the amount of hard training that they do, to add a significant amount of muscle. So, I mean, many, many times I've seen a guy go into the cage and it's like, well, this guy looks completely different. And sometimes they fail the drug test and sometimes they don't. But what is a little disconcerting to me is listen, I'm 39 years old. And when Anderson Silva was coming back at 39 years old, I, as a fan, was really rooting for the guy. Let's win one for the other 35-year-olds out there. Let's get in shape. Let's go in there. Let's have a great fight. I was very, very happy for the guy when he won. And I was very, very devastated when it came out that allegedly he was taking performance-enhancing drugs. And what was really disconcerting about it is Anderson Silva doesn't look like Rick Rude. He's not got a tremendous physique, but the guy's in great shape. And he was giving hope to older guys that, hey, you train, you take care of yourself, you can be in good shape. Well, when Anderson Silva failed this test for two different steroids, I didn't see any physical difference in Anderson Silva in the cage. In fact, if anything, he looked a little bit softer than he's looked in the past. And once you see that, you start to think, well, man, are you telling me that Anderson Silva throughout his entire career may have been taking something the entire time? I mean, I think of maybe maybe two other fights where he might have been drug tested out of competition. But all of the rest of them, he was only tested the day of the show. This was a failed drug test. This most recent drug test failure for Anderson Silva, this was a failed drug test where he was tested out of competition. So one could theoretically argue that maybe this guy has been on something his whole career. And that's sad. That is, in fact, it's going to be very, very tough to look at his career now and not wonder if he was on something in every single one of those fights.
Well, especially when you factor into the account that his run up to becoming the, you know, quote-unquote greatest MMA fighter of all time, you know, happened in the, it was a second part of his career that all happened in, you know, as he started building into his 30s. So, yeah, unfortunately, because of something like this, it's like, again, this is like Major League Baseball. There's guys in the 90s who are revered, and they could have very well taken performance-enhancing drugs because look at the amount of people that were previously revered that had taken them. I mean, names like, you know, your Clemens and Bonds and all those sorts of guys. So the guys who didn't, you know, get tested positive because they didn't get caught, you know, it's a tough situation, but it does throw dirt on Anderson Silva in that, yeah, how long have you been taking this stuff for? You know, it seems to be, you know, the high-profile guys, it doesn't even matter if they're high-profile. When there's competition amongst athletes, there's always going to be someone trying to get ahead and trying to take the advantage. And unfortunately, he got caught for it. And again, there's going to be a lot of people that put that asterisk on him, whether he deserves it or not, just because he was caught this time.
When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about this. We'll talk about Nick Diaz and his failure for marijuana, his third straight failure. And Nick Diaz is now claiming that he is done fighting, so I guess we shall see. We're going to talk about that, plus Raw, Fastlane, the NXT special, which is coming up Wednesday, which, let me tell you, if you're a wrestling fan and you've got the WWE Network, and even if you don't, since I believe it'll be airing on Hulu in a while, you must watch not only this NXT special, but the last television show leading up to it. We're going to talk all about this after the break. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, talking all the news in wrestling and mixed martial arts. And one last thing that I want to say about Anderson Silva, and then we'll move on to Nick Diaz. I had a friend who, he was a wrestler, and he ended up getting a back injury, and he went to his doctor, and he was talking to his doctor about his bad back, and he essentially said to his doctor, you know, what if I took this particular steroid? Would that help my back? And his doctor said something to the effect of, well, I can't prescribe that to you, obviously. But suffice to say, if you happen to have some of this laying around and you took it, it probably would help your back heal. And that's what he did, and his back healed. So, obviously, in the case of Anderson Silva, this is a guy who had a very, very traumatic leg injury. And I would not be surprised one bit if in the middle of this guy's rehab, he came across something and he maybe took it to help rehab his leg. Now, that was a year ago, and his leg was healed, he was in practice, he was training. The idea that you're still taking this after your leg is fully healed, I mean, that's not a, I don't consider that a valid excuse for failing this test. I mean, you may have taken it the first 6 months as you're getting back on your feet and that sort of thing, but to be taking it at the end of a training camp, if your leg wasn't healed, you shouldn't even start a training camp. And if you're in training camp, then you shouldn't have to still be taking something that's going to be healing your leg.
No, but you know, but he would be better off in the court of public opinion if that was the only thing. If it was something that, like, you know, they give you, which, and this happens, if anybody's ever broken a bone, especially if you're a kid, you know, a lot of times they will prescribe a steroid around, you know, depending on how long you're going to have a cast on for, so you don't atrophy as much. So it's not like this is an unusual thing. And I think in the court of public opinion, the always affable, you know, the you know, almost, you know, cartoonish, comical Anderson Silva, the aw shucks guy, you know, he'd have a case in the court of public opinion a little bit more if that was, you know, the issue, by saying, you know, hey, I am a little bit scared. I wanted to come back and perform in front of all you guys, and I was worried about what was going to happen. But he didn't get caught with a steroid that would specifically do that. He got caught with one, again, that either is there to kind of help build a little bit of lean muscle, or at least it lets you maintain it as you're cutting weight. So that argument, even if that was the case, goes right out the window.
Well, the other problem is the first person who pled innocence for Anderson Silva was not Anderson Silva. It was his doctor. And Anderson Silva's doctor did not come out and say, well, you know, my friend failed this test, but he was rehabbing his leg. He didn't say that at all. He said he was not taking anything. He's a clean fighter. I don't know how he failed this test. That's Anderson's doctor. So at this point, since that's the very first thing that his doctor said, it's going to be very difficult to come out later and claim that, well, I was prescribed this for my leg injury, that's why I failed. His doctor is already on record claiming that he was not on anything.
Well, you know, and I wonder then, at some point, do you start, if I'm a commission who's probably, and I'm sure Nevada has got egg on their face again, and they look dumb again in all of this stuff, you know, do they start asking the question, well, if your doctor doesn't know how it got in there and you had to inject it, where are you getting it from? And where are all these guys getting it from? And when they're being
well,
shot up with it?
It's Brazil. I'm sure it's not hard to come by.
Well, I'm saying, though, that, you know, because it's, you know, you know, if you listen to Sirius or TuneIn or any of these stations, it just your regular radio stations, you're going to hear commercials for all of these testosterone boosters, and they prey on guys, you know, who are at their weakest point in middle age, and they say, are you fat? Are you depressed? You know, you can't get it up, can you? You know, it's because you have low testosterone, and they prey on people. And again, athletics, it's sort of the same way, where, you know, they're preying on you. Do you want to win? Do you want to be better? You know, take this stuff, even if it doesn't work or not. I mean, all of those supplements that get pimped across, you know, radio stations, they're just turning something that they claim into testosterone, which none of these things are actually checked out by doctors. And on the converse side of that, when it comes to the guys who fight, I don't think enough pressure is being put on the doctors. Again, where are these guys getting this stuff? Are they getting it illegally? Are they not? But that question kind of doesn't get asked, although this would be a good time to ask it, considering Anderson's doctor was the first one to pop up and go, he's clean, not on anything. And Silva is disputing four different tests on his, you know, two different samples of urine, so if it's an injectable drug, how did it get there? Did somebody sneak up on you in the middle of the night? Like, what exactly happened then?
Well, we'll find out. I mean, he's probably not going to be doing a lot of talking from here on out, and it could be a situation where the Anderson Silva story is now over. I mean, it was until the steroid test failure, it was a perfect way to go out. He broke his leg. He lost his title. He lost two in a row. It looked like his career was over. The great Anderson Silva, the last image you see of him being carted out on a stretcher, screaming and holding his leg. Well, he fought his way back. He rehabbed a year, exactly 1 year and 1 month later. This dude is back in the cage. He's facing Nick Diaz, and over five rounds, he wins every single round against this guy. Some would argue maybe not, but I mean, realistically, he probably won close to, if not every single round against Nick Diaz. And then you retire. You ride off into the sunset on your white horse. But no, now he has failed this test. And my guess is, I don't know this, but I would think that at least here in America, he's just going to quietly step away for a long, long time. And there's going to be another big MMA story breaking, I'm sure, at any time. And people will eventually start to forget this story. I mean, people will remember this, but you disappear for a while. It happens all the time. And the next thing you know, we've moved on to the next thing. I mean, he is still coaching Ultimate Fighter Brazil. So he is still going to be in the limelight. And I'm sure at least in Brazil, and if you're watching Fight Pass, you'll constantly be reminded of this. But your average fan, who knows if they'll even remember this vividly a year from now. but it's a sad...
No, I don't think he'll be painted with it in the same way that, like, Nick Diaz. One of the first thing you probably think of is marijuana, or a guy like Chael Sonnen, who, if you don't like him, the first thing you're going to think of is TRT and things like that. It probably will not paint Anderson Silva in exactly the same way.
And you got to remember, Anderson Silva was beloved by a lot of people. And to your casual fan base, the buddies that come over and watch the show with you, A, some of them probably will never even hear of this, and B, you know there are going to be a lot of them that are going to use the broken leg excuse. Oh, you know, he's rehabbing a broken leg. I'm sure that was why he was on something. He was trying to heal his leg up. I mean, he will be, as you noted, forgiven a lot easier than a guy like Chael Sonnen.
And do you know who's arguably, you know, probably the most crestfallen by this, but the legacy actually gets bumped up more, is George St. Pierre.
That's right.
Because George St. Pierre, who, I mean, the only fight, I think really coming out of last week, even if you really wanted to see Anderson Silva and Chris Weidman, you would know that Anderson Silva wasn't ready yet. And on top of that, I think objectively, I think people could sit back and go, you know, with the amount of time he has left, he's better off being a super fight type of fighter, whether you would think that would be against John Jones or more. You know, for longer we've talked about it, and, you know, the smarter fight for him would be George St. Pierre as a super fight, if you could create that. And George St. Pierre, we see how he walked away, and one of the reasons he said he walked away was obviously he needed to give his head a break and to clear his head, but he was upset with how testing went. Remember, he wanted to pay for all of Johnny Hendricks' testing, and he wanted more testing. And it's, you know, ironic, the one fight that he was going to have and you know, the one super fight you could say was out there that could draw him back would be against Anderson Silva, and I don't think that's a fight he would want to take, you know, because of, unfortunately, the circumstances with Anderson Silva. So it's, you know, again, but in a way that actually helps St. Pierre, too, for those people that can actually go, well, Fedor fought in Japan, and you can dismiss him there now with Anderson Silva. If you are, you know, one of those people that, again, will hold an asterisk against somebody, you can't put one on George St. Pierre, which, again, you know, for those who think he's the best fighter of all time, they have a case.
The final note on the story is the failure of Nick Diaz. He failed for the third time for marijuana, and he on Twitter, Facebook, some sort of social media. There should be an anti-social media, actually, for Nick Diaz, now that I think about it. But wherever it was, he put the hashtag, done fighting. And it's one of those stories where I didn't bother putting anything on our front page about it. I don't know if anybody else did either, but Nick Diaz has retired countless times, if I recall correctly. Maybe not officially, but you always hear that Nick is done. And he did make probably over $1 million when you add in the pay-per-view cut for this fight. It probably did in the range of 700,000 buys, which is very, very good. So Nick Diaz made plenty of money, and I'm sure that he doesn't spend a lot of money except perhaps on weed, and he will probably quietly retire. Maybe the day will come a few years down the road where all of a sudden Diaz has no money, and he's got to get himself a fight to make another cool $1 million. But probably until then, he's done. And realistically, he may be done anyway, because the Nevada State Athletic Commission, after a third strike for pot in his career, may just say, dude, you're done. We're not licensing you here in this state anymore. So best of luck to you, my friend.
Organic natural food is expensive. He'd probably have to go out and buy that. The weed, you know, he's probably got enough money now. He can just buy, you know, set somebody up and grow it for him. You know, and let that happen over and over again. But it's going to be the food that gets him training for all these marathons.
He is doing a lot of marathon training. That is undoubtedly the case. We're going to talk more about...
triathlete.
That's right, triathlete. We're going to head to a break, everybody. When we come back, we'll talk pro wrestling, Raw, Fastlane, the NXT special, and so much more. Don't forget, this coming Wednesday is the NXT TakeOver Arrival show. It is available on the WWE Network, Hulu as well. It's going to be an awesome show. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And starting on February 23rd, we will be here 6 days a week, Monday through Friday. noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Sunday is the usual 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern sports byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio Sports Zone, the American Forces Network. A big shout out to everybody listening on the American Forces Network, the Cable Radio Network, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, iTunes as well. We're available on the internet, sportsbyline.com, wrestlingobserver.com, the most listened to daily pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. And of course, for the latest news in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, the place to go is wrestlingobserver.com. If you like this show, but maybe it doesn't always work into your schedule, you miss a show here or there, or you just want more, beginning on February 23rd, there will be 2 shows a day available for members at WrestlingObserver.com. Not only do you get all of these new shows as a subscriber, but our entire archive is available to you on demand. Every show that we've ever done, dating back to 2005, is available in the archives. There's over 6,000 hours of audio in the archives. We have interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling, all the way up to Stone Cold Steve Austin, Bruno Sammartino. The list goes on, all available there in the archives for you to download. Twice the amount of archived content as the WWE Network. If you're a fan of podcasts, radio shows, etc., and you're a wrestling or mixed martial arts fan, I guarantee there is no better website in the world than WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there and check that out, WrestlingObserver.com. If you sign up, I guarantee you will love it. And there is no better time than here leading into WrestleMania. And as we head into the Fastlane pay-per-view, we're done with the Royal Rumble. As we head into Fastlane and WrestleMania, a lot of interesting things going on. Fastlane is now a little bit different than we had anticipated. The main event is still John Cena versus Rusev, but also on the undercard, a Daniel Bryan-Roman Reigns match, where the winner of this match is going to go on to face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 31. So yes, everybody, there are a number of options now available for WrestleMania. They may stick with their guns and do Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. They may switch it up and do Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan. Or I suppose they could even do some sort of non-finish and end up doing a three-way with Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns, and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. A lot of different ways they could go. And Mike, the most interesting thing about this is clearly they decided to change their direction after what happened at the Royal Rumble pay-per-view in Raw the next night. Well, I guess the next following Thursday. They decided to potentially add Daniel Bryan to the mix. And the funny thing is, on the show where they decided to go in a different direction, Roman Reigns was cheered by 90% of the crowd.
Yeah, it's,
They jumped the gun.
They've got options. It's in an ass-backwards way, but, Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns, I get there different ways you could go with Fastlane. I've always been a proponent of seeing, I think the circle gets closed, and you could do a good story, especially with Brock leaving, of Daniel Bryan, the small guy, who's actually kind of like a Paul Heyman guy and all that stuff. He taps out Brock to kind of, circle the story around. Daniel Bryan conquered the guy that conquered The Undertaker. There's a million one ways I think you can go with that story and keep people happy, and you don't damage Roman Reigns in it. You know, they're in a situation now where maybe they will damage Roman Reigns to the amount of people that still like him. Obviously, the hardcore wrestling audience prefers Daniel Bryan by leaps and bounds, and they're going to be very vocal, and they may even be vocal at WrestleMania. But, what will happen with Roman Reigns on the lead into that? How will he be treated against Daniel Bryan in Memphis, as far as the crowd goes? You're making them kind of choose a side. Obviously, Daniel Bryan is playing this thing up on TV as, we can go tear the house down sort of thing, although Roman Reigns is kind of giving, a hint of maybe he's, he was put, his back was against the wall. He was bamboozled by the authority on Monday, which, was interesting. They rubbed it in how, foolish they were able to make him look so easily. And the fact that they took, they couldn't have taken the Royal Rumble win away from him. Like, they kind of led him on to believe, and they made him look stupid. And then he goes and he loses to the Big Show with the interference of Seth Rollins. So, maybe they're putting some doubt in people's minds that maybe Roman Reigns is that upset. He might turn on Daniel Bryan. So, you have that option there too, which that may not be the worst way to go. If you are going to go with Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania against Brock Lesnar, because on Monday, the Monday after, Brock Lesnar, I don't know if he'd want to lose, you know, in the middle of the ring to Daniel Bryan, then on the next night get destroyed. But if you are going to go in the direction with Roman Reigns, who really wants revenge and wants to take out Daniel Bryan and take everyone out, being, you know, missing his WrestleMania moment, you could say, then he could destroy Brock Lesnar, and then that could set you up for Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. You know, it chucks Seth Rollins out of the mix, and you have to kind of appease that somehow with the Money in the Bank briefcase, but it does give you something for the summer afterwards, including leading into Elimination Chamber.
You know what I think is so great about what they've actually done here? I've been very critical of WWE booking in the past, but I like this match because there's so many ways they could go. Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan, you could have Daniel Bryan beat Roman Reigns, and Daniel Bryan goes on to face Brock at WrestleMania, a match that everybody wants to see. You can have Roman Reigns beat Daniel Bryan and turn heel, and you have a heel Roman Reigns going into WrestleMania against a babyface Brock Lesnar. You could even have Paul Heyman turn on Brock and side with Roman Reigns, and you've got Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns against Brock Lesnar with Brock as the babyface at Mania. You could take the big risk, which I don't think they're going to take, but the big risk would be Roman Reigns beats Daniel Bryan clean, and then Daniel Bryan raises Roman Reigns' hand, and he endorses him as the man who should be facing Brock Lesnar, and you hope that doing so will have all of the fans get behind Roman Reigns. I think that is a huge risk. I don't think they're going to do it, but if they wanted to be ballsy, they could try that one. And you can do, as noted, the screw job finish where maybe somebody runs in, maybe there's some sort of double count out, double KO, who knows, double submission. I don't know, there's a million ways you could go to have no winner. And then the big announcement, and to me, if you're going to do this, you got to do the announcement at the end of the show so people feel like they got their money's worth. Don't save it till Raw the next night. But you do the big announcement that heading to WrestleMania will be both Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan. They'll be doing a three-way with Brock Lesnar. Now, on the three-way note, I can tell you two things. Number one, the idea of a three-way was brought up to Vince a little while ago. It was probably around the time of the Royal Rumble, and at the time, Vince said he did not want to do a three-way because they'd already done it last year, and they would be going to the well one too many times, I believe was the term that he used. So at least a while ago, his brain was not in the mode of doing a three-way. Now, as everybody listening to this is well aware, Vince changes his mind on a dime. Vince rewrites the Raw script during Raw sometimes. He could always change his mind and decide that because of the reactions of the hardcore fans, and you know you're going to have those reactions at Mania, maybe the best thing to do is do a three-way. And on top of that, I can tell everybody that whatever the plans were for a Daniel Bryan-Dolph Ziggler match, as of about a week ago, those plans were off the books, which means they came up with some sort of different idea for Daniel Bryan, whether that's a three-way, whether that's some other match for him to have, maybe the match with Sheamus they wanted last year, I don't know, but it does appear they're no longer doing Daniel Bryan versus Dolph Ziggler. So a lot of ways they can go in this particular match.
Well, you need Dolph Ziggler to team up with Ryback as the big guy and the little guy for a tag title match against the Usos or something at WrestleMania. Something important like that you might need Dolph Ziggler for, you know?
What a terrible tag team gimmick that is. The big guy and the little guy.
The other thing this is actually doing, too, which is a big benefit and something that they can continue to push more, is the fact that the spot at WrestleMania and the title are important. You know, Daniel Bryan wants it back. Seth Rollins just wants it. Brock Lesnar's got it, and he's made it special. Roman Reigns wants it. You know, hopefully they can do this across the board with all of their belts. Of course they won't. But at least when it comes to the world title, that's the one thing I hope they continue to do, you know, with all of these questions that you know, are going into WrestleMania and then coming out of it as well, too. With other guys back in the mix, again, you know, you have to figure out something with Rollins. Randy Orton, you know, as well as Daniel Bryan, Reigns, and whoever else is going to be up there in that mix, keep the title important. You know, even though Brock Lesnar's not going to have it anymore and it'll be on TV all the time, let it still continue to be special.
One other quick note on Fastlane, they've also added Nikki Bella versus Paige for the Divas title. And speaking of Divas, four-way Divas match at the NXT TakeOver Arrival Special, which is coming up Wednesday on the WWE Network. Charlotte, Bayley, Sasha, and Becky for the belt. Could be a new women's champion if the idea is to bring up Charlotte. But the important thing we have to talk about here before we run out of time is the main event for the NXT title. It is the former Generico versus the former Kevin Steen. They've had so many amazing matches over the years, and now here they are in WWE Developmental. It is Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. And if you did not see the NXT television show this past Wednesday, you must find that show, whether it's on Hulu or the WWE Network. Watch the final 10 minutes where they do the video package for Zayn and Owens. It is up there with the greatest WrestleMania video packages you have ever seen. It is a work of art. This match is going to be fabulous. And on the undercard, Mike, you can speak of this as well. The Best of the Super Juniors 2012 match that got both men signed. Pac against Prince Devitt. Now Adrian Neville against Finn Balor. They are in the finals of a number one contenders tournament here on the show. This show is going to be awesome.
Oh my God, yeah. You know, the entire show last week for NXT, or this week leading into this, I would suggest anyone out there who hasn't seen it to definitely see it. You know, as there are some, not all great. Alex Riley does commentary. And, you know, there are a couple of down moments. But as far as building, you know, your go-home show to next Wednesday, they did a masterful job of it. And as you said, that video at the end was absolutely fantastic. This is, again, 2 months. Kevin Owens has only been there 2 months. We've kind of known, because of tapings and things like that, everything that was going to happen into the lead into this thing, and it hasn't lost any of it. And it's, again, it's going to be awesome. Obviously, Finn Balor, and Adrian Neville is going to be fantastic as well. So even four-way, again, everything, how it's been laid out has been great. Obviously, Baron Corbin against Bull Dempsey, you know, why do we want to see Corbin already kill Dempsey? He's beat him twice already, but they gave you at least, you know, some sort of reason to lead into it, which is Corbin's upset because Dempsey cost him his match against Neville and gave him his first pinfall loss. So everything looks to be perfect for this. And I wouldn't be surprised when it comes to the women's four-way if Becky Lynch actually is the one that wins it, because I can see Charlotte on the main roster and I can see actually Becky Lynch and Sasha going at each other.
I hope they give it to Sasha. It doesn't really matter, but I've been a big fan of Sasha Banks lately. I am a little worried about that match because they had a tag match a while back that was not the best match I've ever seen, to put it gently. But overall, I think it's going to be a great match. The full lineup very quickly. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens for the title. Charlotte, Bayley, Sasha, and Becky for the women's title. Wesley Blake and Buddy Murphy against the Lucha Dragons for the tag titles. Adrian Neville versus Finn Balor for the number one contendership. And Baron Corbin versus Bull Dempsey. More after the break, everybody. Observer live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And don't forget, everybody, February 23rd is the big day. Wrestling Observer Live moving to Monday through Friday. Actually, technically, I guess we're Sunday through Friday. Six straight days every week of Wrestling Observer Live. It is available on Sports Byline USA, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, and of course all of the online streaming networks as well, including iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio, searching Sports Byline USA. Monday through Friday, we'll be here from noon to 1 Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern drive time over there on the East Coast. We also got a West Coast replay at 5 p.m., so drive time on the West Coast as well. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, the normal pre-pay-per-view time slot. And what a great time to do a Sunday show, as February 22nd is in fact the Fastlane pay-per-view. So we will be here on February 22nd with a two-hour lead-in to that show. And of course, after the show, and every night, only for subscribers, we have bonus shows at WrestlingObserver.com. We have an archive that is twice the size of the WWE Network archive. 6,000 shows on there. Every show we have ever done, dating back to 2005, there's tons of stuff up there. And Mike, Raw tomorrow, I don't know what they're going to do, but I didn't mind Raw this past Monday, so hopefully it's going to be a good show.
Well, yeah, and you benefit from having the ability to watch it in Hulu form at only 90 minutes, and with you being gone, I have to watch the full 3 hours, and ouch, that really hurts.
Gotta tell you, the 90-minute Hulu version is not bad. They edit out all of the pointless stuff because they got to get it in 90 minutes, and as a result, it's a much easier show to watch, although, unlike when you watch it at home on your DVR, you cannot fast forward through the commercials. We're going to head out of here, everybody, but I want to thank you all for listening from beautiful, sunny Hawaii here. Here for another week. We'll have lots of shows up at WrestlingObserver.com. Mike and Dave have been doing a great job, so I want to thank them for that. And, of course, thanks everybody at Sports Byline USA, all of you, the listeners as well. We'll talk to you again next week. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.